Thank you so much, Vrinda Macharji. Dandava pranams to everyone on the call. So we are continuing to read from Valmiki Ramayana. And today we will be doing Kishkindha Kanda. But we also have a little bit of Aranyakanda left, the last bit, which we will cover. And then we'll enter Kishkindha. So I'll start up with the prayers. Om Ajnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Madhira Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayani Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayati Teshtarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Kirin, Yat Kripata Mahamandi, Shri Gurum, Dinakari Namam, Mr. Matai, Krishna Praise Thai, Bodhi, Shri Matirata, Natsa Pominate Namini. Prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman, and Lord Shri Ramachandra. Kujantam Rama Ramiti Madhuram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmiki Munisimhasya Kavita Vanacharina Shrinvan Ramakathanatham Konayati Param Gatim Vedavedi Parepumse Jati Dasharatatmaji Veda Pracheta Sadase Sakshat Ramayanatmana Anjana Nandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisham Akshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Marutatulyavegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayudamukhyam Shri Ramadutam Shirasanamami Anjaneya Madipatanalanam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vikraham Parijata Tarumulavasinam Bhavayani Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanjalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namatarakshasantakam Shri Raghavam, Dasharatatmajam Aprameyam, Sita Patim, Ragukulanmaya Ratna Deepam, Ajanubahum, Maravinda Dayala Daksham, Ramam, Nishachara Vinashakam, Namami. So in the previous class, we saw how Lord Shri Ram went in search of Sita, and on the way, he saw Jatayu, who was about to die, and Jatayu told Rama, about how Ravana had abducted Sita, and he asked him to proceed towards the southern direction. So while they began to move forward, while Rama and Lakshmana were moving forward down south, at that time they came across a demon by the name Kabanda. This Kabanda appeared in front of them, and actually there was a big fight, and Kabanda requested them to kill him. And before dying, he told the story of his past life, and then after he was killed, by Ram Lakshman, he assumed a very beautiful form of a Gandharva, and he advised Ram and Lakshman to go and befriend Sugriva, who was living near the Pampa Sarovar in Kishkindha, and he also told Ram to meet Shabari, who was actually waiting for his arrival. So we stopped there in the previous class, and we have to continue from here. Now, the last part of Aranyakanda actually discusses the story of Shabari, which we will do today. And then we will formally enter into Kishkindha Kanda. Okay. So, Mataji, what happened?
Sorry to disturb you, Mataji. Can you increase the volume, Mataji? Thank you, Mataji.
Is it better now? Or it's
yes,
good?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, Mataji.
Okay. So, as suggested by Kabanda, they began to proceed towards the Pampa Lake, and then they reached a place that was slightly on the western side of the beautiful Pampa Lake. This is near Hampi in Karnataka, that is where they are now. And there they came upon a very beautiful ashram where an old woman, an ascetic woman by the name Shabari, was living. Now Shabari, she was living in an ashram that belonged to a sage by the name Mathanga Rishi. So this Mathanga Rishi, he had already attained the spiritual world by now. He was no more living there. But Shabari was taking care of that place. So when Shabari saw these two beautiful brothers coming close to her ashram, she immediately recognized them and she got up and went and fell at their feet. She welcomed them inside, and with a lot of love and devotion, she gave them water to wash their feet, water to wash their mouth, and she offered them different items of worship. Then, after doing all this, Shabari began to introduce herself. She said, oh dear, Ram and Lakshman have been for so long waiting for this day. Finally, this day has come. My spiritual master, Mathanga Rishi, once told me when we were in Chitrakoot that you still have some services to do in this material world. You cannot come with us to the spiritual world. Actually, when they were in Chitrakoot, Mathanga Rishi and some of his disciples, they went back to Godhead. But he told me to wait because I had a very important duty to execute. He told me that you both will be coming, and I've been waiting for this day, and I'm so happy that both of you have come here. So he's given me specific instructions that I must serve you and take good care of you. So like this, Shabari said, this is the most fortunate day for me, and she had already collected lots of forest fruits and eatables that grow in that area, and lovingly she offered all of it to Lord Ram. Now, actually, Valmiki Ramayana, it stops with this sentence. There is no mention in Valmiki Ramayana of Shabari tasting each and every fruit and giving it to Ram. So the popular understanding, maybe it is there in other retellings of Ramayana, which is not wrong, but I'm just saying what is there in Valmiki Ramayana. In Valmiki Ramayana, it just says Shabari offered these fruits with love. That's all. Nothing else. Nothing more than that. So the popular retelling and understanding is that Shabari bit into each fruit and she gave the other half to Lord Ram. But this mention is not there. But how does this idea come up? You know, that is again explained that it is actually an adaptation from a verse in the Padma Purana. I just read that Sanskrit verse for you and then we can discuss on it. Actually, the verse in Padma Purana says, Palami cha su pakvani moolani madhurani cha Swayam asadhya madhuryam pariksha paribakshya cha paschat nivedya masa raghabhyam dridavratha. That means she personally checked the fruits, tasted them. It says asadhya madhuryam parikshasya paribakshasya. She tested and she tasted. So there are two understandings that are derived from this verse, and it is amplified in different ways. One understanding is the popular understanding that she bit into each fruit and she gave Rama Lakshmana the other half of the fruit. That is one understanding. But another understanding is there, which is a more, Acharya-based understanding. Many commentaries have spoken about this, saying that Shabari actually, she chose some of the best fruits growing in the forest. She could understand that these set of fruits are good, these set of fruits are bad. Like she would taste, this plant gives sweet fruits, this plant doesn't give sweet fruits, like that. And she chose some of the best shrubs that are giving the best fruits and she collected them for Rama Lakshmana. This is another understanding. So there are two ways of understanding this verse. One is Shabari really didn't give half the fruit to Ram Lakshman. Rather, she could understand which were the sweet tasting fruits and she collected them after testing each plant. It is more said like that. But both understandings are okay because different retellings of Ramayana give different understandings. But the Valmiki Ramayana just says that she gave nice fruits and nice offerings to Rama Lakshmana with a lot of devotion based on the instruction given by her spiritual master. Okay? So then Ram was very happy. Lakshmana was very happy. They were so moved by the devotion that Shabari showed. And then Lord Ramachandra, he requested Shabari to show him around the ashram, and while she took Ram and Lakshman inside the ashram and she was showing around the ashram, she began to describe the glories of a spiritual master very lovingly. She was talking about how great her spiritual master Mathanga Rishi is and how great her godbrothers were. So she was describing their glories, and then finally she told Ram, Lord Ramachandra, I'm so happy that you have come here. My life, you know, the whole aim of my life has been fulfilled that you have come to this ashram. But now it is time for me to leave this world and go and serve my spiritual master and godbrothers eternally in the spiritual abode. So I just seek your permission. I'm leaving now. She says like that. So Lord Ram, at that time, he gives his consent. He says, okay, go. And then Shabari immediately, she gives up her body and she goes back to the spiritual world. Now, there are a lot of understandings in this, a lot of reflections that one can take from this particular pastime of Shabari saying that her spiritual master has asked her to come back to the spiritual world and she just informs Lord Ram that she's leaving. Okay. In the case of Jatayu, Lord Ram said to Jatayu, go back to the spiritual world. Okay, he ordered. Lord Ram said, okay, it's time. Now you go back to the spiritual world. Lord Ram ordered Jatayu. But here, it's a little different. The case of Shabari is a little different because Shabari had already had the instruction of a spiritual master. She's just informing Ram, I'm leaving by, and she's going away. Why? Because she had the connection with the spiritual master. She had already taken shelter of the spiritual master. If one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, whether the Lord comes or not, the spiritual master's order is there and he will be there for us. It is his full responsibility to take us back to the spiritual world. So like this, Shabari was granted liberation because of her Guru Bhakti. Ram was only a witness. Actually, Ram said, okay, bye. He just sanctioned. But whereas in the case of Jatayu, Ram had to order him to go to the spiritual world because he didn't have the association of the spiritual master. So he didn't give her direct liberation, but rather she had already attained the liberation because of her spiritual master. Now, there is another thing about Shabari offering fruits to Lord Ram and Ram accepting it. So when Shabari is known to be from a Nishada family. Similarly, Guha was also from a Nishada family. If you remember the story of Guha when we were discussing it, it was quite different actually, because when Guha offered, Guha brought a lot of eatables. He got fruits and flowers, fruits and eatables and all kinds of things. And he offered it to all of them who had come, the entire party, Lakshmana, Rama, everybody he offered. But Rama particularly said, I will just drink water that has been brought by Lakshmana. He didn't directly take the fruits and roots that were given by Guha. Now again here, it is a subtle instruction that is in glorification of the spiritual master. Shabari was doing everything in order of her spiritual master. Ram accepted those offerings because the guru was the medium. So that's why even when we offer bhoga first, we must first say prayer to our spiritual master and then Krishna accepts it. We first offer the bhoga through the medium of our spiritual master. That is when Krishna is completely satisfied and he accepts it. So when Ram, he saw Shabari, he was very, very happy because Shabari was performing everything based on the order of the spiritual master. Keeping the spiritual master in the medium, she was serving Ram. So Ram immediately accepted all those fruits that were given by Shabari. So these are the two understandings that come from the story of Shabari in glorification of the spiritual master. How important it is for us to accept the spiritual master and also go through the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the medium between the Lord and us. Now, after this event or incident had happened, lot of disturbance. Okay. So after this had happened, Lord Ramachandra, when he saw this whole thing about how Shabari had served him and how she went back to Godhead, and he was thinking in his mind, I'm so fortunate. Ram is thinking for himself. Seeing Shabari, he's feeling fortunate. He's saying he's thinking in his mind, I happened to see a lady who has such loyalty to a spiritual master. So, and this is an indication for me that my mission will be successful because I've seen such a pious lady who has been serving her spiritual master in such a devoted way. So like this, Ram was thinking that it is his great fortune to see this wonderful Shabari. And Lakshmana was thinking in his mind that this lady has served her spiritual master with such great devotion and she's going to the spiritual world and I am also serving my brother. Lord Ram is not only my brother, but he's my father, he's my teacher, and he's everything to me. He's my Nata, he's my Lord. But do I really have an iota of Shabari's dedication? All the problems that Ram is undergoing now is only because of the neglect of my duty. So like that, he's analyzing within himself. Both Ram is seeking inspiration from Shabari, and Lakshmana was seeking inspiration with Shabari. So Lakshmana was thinking in his mind that I should serve my Lord Ram the way Shabari served her spiritual master. So like that, both of them think about it and they glorify Shabari, both in her mind and in their words. They pay respects to Shabari for her glorious character, and then they begin to move forward after Shabari left this material world. Then Lord Ram then told Lakshmana, okay, now our time has come to move forward. and they go to the auspicious Pampa Sarovar. Now, they had reached close to the Pampa Sarovar, Pampa Lake, where the Skabanda had asked them to go. But first, they went and met Shabari, near the ashram that is slightly westward to this Pampa Sarovar. So now, they went forward and they went into the Pampa Sarovar. They took a dip in the holy river. And then from there, they saw the beautiful Rishyamukha Parvat, where Sugriva was living with the other Vanaras. So while Rama and Lakshmana were taking a dip in the Pampa Sarovar and looking around, looking at the beauty of this Kishkindha area, Ram, he was reminded of Sita. Everywhere he looked in the forest, the beauty of the forest and the surroundings, everything reminded him of Sita. He was thinking of the time that he spent with her in Chitrakoot and Panchavati, and he was so filled with emotion thinking about Sita. Every single thing reminded him of Sita, and he was telling Lakshmana how much he misses Sita. So talking like this, they continued to move towards Rishyamukha Parvat. So with this, officially, Aranyakanda is over. Now we will enter Kishkindha Kanda. So again, Kishkindha Kanda, the very first chapter, it begins with the chapter where Ram is lamenting in separation from Sita as he sees the beauty of Pampa and the surrounding areas. So each and every little thing reminds him of Sita. Remember in the previous class also we were talking about the lamentation of Lord Ram. So much, he was going through a lot of turmoil, emotional turmoil. And he again and again and again, he glorifies Sita and he says how much he misses Sita. So chapters together this goes on. Actually, till he finally meets Sita, there is so much lamentation on the part of Lord Ram. So like that, again and again, he talks about Sita. And finally, Ram and Lakshman, they reach close to Rishyamukha Parvat. Now, then they got close to this Rishyamukha Parvat. At that time, this great king of the Vanaras, Sugriva, he saw these two beautiful brothers walking towards the mountain and he was very shocked. He didn't expect anyone to come to that area, the two such, you know, human-like people coming there. So he got very restless and he got very fearful, and it is described in the Valmiki Ramayana that he was almost petrified. He was sweating and he was so petrified. He became so distressed and he was looking in all directions and he was so restless. He was so blank. He was jumping from one place to the other and completely frightened. Looking at him frightened, all the monkeys around also started getting frightened and everyone was jumping around. Then Sugriva, very hastily, he called out to his ministers and he told his ministers, "See, I see two people. They have entered this forest in a very deceitful manner. They are wearing tree barks and I'm very sure this is Vali's plan. Vali has sent these two people." Like that, he said. So, this Vali cannot keep quiet. He's always, he has this intention of attacking us all the time. He has sent two people to fight with us. So Sugriva was very, very disturbed and he called his ministers and he told his ministers, "See, those two people are arriving. I see danger." So his ministers were standing in front of him and Sugriva was saying all this with a lot of haste. So among the Vanaras who were standing in front of Sugriva was our great hero Hanuman. So we see the grand entry of Hanuman in this epic now. So Hanuman began to speak. The great minister of Sugriva, who is Hanuman, now he begins to speak. This is the very first sentence that Hanuman speaks.
Samramahatya jatamesha sarvehe vali krite mahan malayoyam giri varo bhayam na iha asti valinaha.
Let all confusion and perplexity be warded off. All of you discard this great fear from Vali and his cruelty. There is no scare from Vali in this best mountain, which is Mount Malaya. This is the statement that Hanuman first speaks in the Valmiki Ramayana. So the very opening assurance of Hanuman to not only to Sugriva, but to all of us, is to ward off any fear or any anxiety or any perplexity. So the very thought of Hanuman for us is known to ward off any evil force. So Hanuman gives this abhaya, a statement. He says, "Don't worry, everything is clear, I will take care," like that. So he assures Sugriva, "Let all confusion be warded off." So like that he says, and then he says, "Don't worry, Sugriva, this
this can't, the, you know, this mountain is a very special place. Vali cannot do anything here. Vali cannot even step on this mountain or even come close to this mountain. Why? Because this is Mount Malaya, which is also Mount Rishyamukha. And Vali has a curse, so he will not come here. What is the curse? That we will see later. Okay. So this is the first statement spoken by our hero, Lord Hanuman. Then he says, the next statement Hanuman gives is, Buddhi vijnana sampanna ingi taihi sarvam achara nahi abuddhim gato raja sarva bhutani shastricha. Shastihi, sorry. Keep your intellect and wisdom firm and express all your intentions clearly in all your undertakings. Certainly, a king getting into unintelligence cannot command all his subjects. So like that, Hanuman spoke his next sentence. He said, keep your intellect and wisdom firm. So then he gave this very sound advice to Sugriva. Sugriva immediately started speaking. He said, Dirgabahu visalakshau sharachapa asidharinau kasyana syat bhayam drishtva hi etau surasuta upamau. I see two people. They have lengthy arms. They have broad eyes. And they are the wielders of bows and arrows and swords. On seeing them, who will not be scared? These two look like some son of gods. Like this, Sugriva told his fear to Hanuman. He said, I'm seeing two people, that's why I'm so scared. So he tells, and he describes their beauty, how they look. They have broad eyes like lotus petals. And they have lengthy arms and they're carrying bows and arrows. He's saying that. So he said to Hanuman, I presume that these two people are sent by Vali just to attack me. So, for the kings like Vali, they do not, you know, they always keep sending people to check on me. He's a king, so it is his duty to constantly look out for his enemy. So he's continuously going to do that. And for me to trust these two people and keep away fear and not get agitated is not a normal thing. I will be agitated when I see such attackers. So then Sugriva told Hanuman, Hanuman, I need a help from you. You please go in disguise. Don't go in this monkey form, but go in disguise and go approach these two men, talk to them who they are and find out their intentions, who they are, where they are coming from, what is their intention, are they going to attack me, find out all this. And if you get any indications that they were sent by Vali, immediately turn towards me, turn towards the mountain and give me a signal and I will get alerted. So this is the instruction that Sugriva gives Hanuman. Now, Hanuman is going to meet Rama Lakshmana and Hanuman is going to meet them in disguise. So that is the next part of the story. So then Hanuman, the son of the air god, he made up his mind to go there. He made up his mind to go and meet Rama Lakshman. And that beautiful monkey, just to appease this frightened Sugriva, very respectfully taking on his order, he jumped off from the mountain. Now, once he jumped off from the Rishyamukha mountain, he casted off his monkey-like appearance and he took on the form of an ascetic. He dressed up like a sannyasi, ascetic, and he went there and he stood in front of Rama Lakshman, blocking their way. Okay? So now, why should Hanuman go in disguise? So that is another thing that has been spoken about, is that Sugriva, he doubted Ram Lakshman to be sent by his elder brother Vali, because kings will always be on the hunt for their enemies. So he ordered Hanuman to approach them, not in his original appearance of a monkey, but in the form of an ascetic, because the reason is, nobody tells lie to an ascetic. So when Hanuman goes and inquires from Rama Lakshman who they are, Rama Lakshman will be bound to tell the truth. Because when you see an ascetic, you see a sannyasi, you see a pious man, you wouldn't be lying. This is the logic that Sugriva had applied. So he said you go in that particular form so that you can get maximum information about these two brothers. So Hanuman changed his form and he went. Now, when Hanuman went close to Ram Lakshman and he saw their beauty, he instantaneously melted and he paid obeisances. And with a very sweet, pleasing voice, he began to speak to them. He greeted them and he praised the two brothers. He told, you both look so beautiful. You look like kingly saints. Your bodies are so beautiful and you have such perfect complexions. How come you both have arrived to this country's side scaring all the animals and inhabitants of this forest? Actually, you both look so resplendent, but you are dressed like ascetics. You are wearing barks and you have strong, mighty shoulders like kings. So who are you? Like that, in a very sweet and a very pleasing voice, he begins to question Ram Lakshman about their identity. So he says, you have arms like elephant trunks, you're broad-chested, you have lotus-like eyes. What brings you here? So like this Hanuman, who is in the guise of a sannyasi, he begins to praise their beauty and he asks them about their identity. So while Hanuman was talking so much, he goes on speaking verses after verses after verses. He goes on and on and on, describing the beauty of Ram Lakshman. And again, after every little sentence, he keeps asking, who are you? Why have you come here? Who are you? Why are you come here? So he goes on talking like that. And while he's talking all these sentences, Ram Lakshmana remaining silent. They didn't even speak a word. They were just assessing him. They were looking at him top to bottom, trying to assess him. And Hanuman, after a point of time when he spoke so much and these people were not even responding, they were just totally silent. He didn't know what to do. He was totally vexed. Now, actually, why this reaction from Ram Lakshman is described? Because so far, this Hanuman, he was talking all kinds of flattering words. And these words were not ordinary words. All the words that Hanuman were talking was actually drawn from many scriptures. Like he was quoting verses from Lakshana Shastra. And verses like, you know, the arm length and the broad shoulders, you look like this, you look like that. Like this, all these verses were actually quoted from different shastras describing the beauty of Ram Lakshmana. And Ram Lakshmana were assessing Hanuman. They were like, who is this person? They were first assessing before they could answer anything. They were thinking, in the midst of this unpopulated thick forest, suddenly one sannyasi jumps in. And he's speaking so perfectly. There is not a single mistake in him referring to the scriptures. There is not a single grammatical mistake. The tone of his voice is so perfect. What is this person doing in the midst of the forest? Why is he roaming in these deep forests? Because if he's a beggar or an ascetic or a sannyasi, he should be somewhere around villages trying to gather some, a little bit of food for himself. In such a thick forest, what is this man doing and why is he constantly asking our identity? So thinking like this, Ram and Lakshmana, they were simply assessing him. They were just looking at him top to bottom. What is his intention? What is he doing? How come he's speaking so perfectly? Then they just remained silent. And then Hanuman got restless. He's a monkey, right? He got restless. I'm speaking so much, these people are not answering me anything. Then he said, immediately he blurted out, he said, I've been talking to you in this way. Why are you not speaking up? Hanuman asks. And Hanuman could not keep quiet and he immediately blurted out. He said, there is a virtuous monkey. He's very, very worthy. His name is Sugriva and he's been expelled by his brother Vali and he's roaming around all this world, all over the world sorrowfully. Actually, I am Hanuman and I am his minister. He openly says that. Now, all this while, he's come in disguise. He doesn't want to reveal his identity. But he spoke so much, and at the end of it, he got restless, and he spoke his identity. He said, there is actually a monkey by the name Sugriva who's been expelled by Vali, and I've come on his order. And he says this particular verse, Taptaha aham preshitaha. Tena Sugrivena Mahatmana Ragya Vanara Mukhyanam Hanuman Nama Vanara. Delegated by that great soul and king of monkeys Sugriva, I have come here and my name is Hanuman and I am a Vanara. I'm not a sannyasi, I'm a Vanara. He immediately blurts out. He says that righteous Sugriva actually wants friendship with you too and know me to be his monkey, to be a monkey. I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a human being, I'm a monkey. And I'm the minister of Sugriva and I'm the son of Air God. He says that. And then he admitted that he came from mountain Rishyamukha in the form of an ascetic just to appease Sugriva. So immediately he tells out everything, seeing the beauty of Ram Lakshman. First he glorifies them and then he looks at them and he's not able to contain within himself. He's not able to hold on to the secret and he just blurts out, actually, I'm a Vanara and my name is Hanuman. So after all this effort of disguising himself, he just introduces himself as who he is. How and why is because the Supreme Lord, when the Supreme Lord stands in front of us, how can we hold back any secrets? How can we continue to lie in front of him? He is the Paramatma within our heart, so immediately the truth will come out. So in the same way, when Hanuman looked at Ram Lakshman, the truth came out from his mouth. Now, there's another verse that says, Eva muktva tu Hanuman, Hanumam, tau virau Rama Lakshmanau, Vaknyagnyo, Vakya Kushalaha, Punahana, Uvacha Kinchana. After speaking like this, this eloquent Hanuman, that fine speech, he's Vakyagnyo and he's Vakya Kushala. That means he knows how to speak and he speaks very pleasingly. This Hanuman, who knows to speak so beautifully, he fell silent after telling about himself. So after he finished speaking all this and he also blurted out his identity, hearing all these words of Hanuman, Rama was very impressed. Then he looks at Lakshmana and he tells, Lakshmana, my dear brother, this minister of Sugriva, his speech is very good. He's so fine. His speech is so fine. It is so eloquent. It is so scholarly. So you please exchange pleasantries with him. Now Rama here, he doesn't directly talk to Hanuman. He tells Lakshmana to talk to Hanuman because he's following the proper etiquette. A king doesn't directly talk to a messenger or an ambassador or a minister like that. So because Rama is also a king, right? He's also a prince. So the correct etiquette is to ask Lakshmana to talk. So he asks Lakshmana to speak to Hanuman. Not only that, Lakshmana, he says, Rama himself says, Lakshmana is an eloquent speaker. Because to match the kind of speech that Hanuman is talking, he's saying only Lakshmana can do it. Because Lakshmana is also very learned in scriptures. He's also a very fine speaker. So he looks at Lakshmana and he says, you speak to him. And then before Lakshmana begins to speak, in front of Hanuman itself, Rama glorifies Hanuman to Lakshmana. He turns towards Lakshmana and he begins to glorify Hanuman. How is he glorifying Hanuman? These verses are very beautiful because all these verses are in glorification of Lord Hanuman. This glorification is coming from the mouth of Lord Ram himself. So Ram says like this, he says, even the knower of Rig Veda or an expert in Yajur Veda or a scholar of the Sama Veda cannot possibly speak the truth in this way. His grammar is very good. He's learnt everything comprehensively. Not a single word he speaks is out of context. On his face, eyes or forehead or brows and the other faculties of expression, absolutely no fault is seen. His words, how it is not very expanded. He's not doubting the words he's saying. He's not delaying the words. It is not, dissonant, you know, not in proper order. The tenor of his speech is so perfect. And the way he speaks comes from his chest and throat in a very medium tone. He's got very good refinement of speech and he speaks so remarkably. And he speaks very appropriate words that are very heart-pleasing. And then Ram says, the speech is generated in three places, the chest, head, and throat. And when he speaks like that, it is so enthralling, so much so that an enemy's heart will melt. So if a king has such a minister like Hanuman who can speak so beautifully, all his mission will be accomplished. So like this, in front of Hanuman, Rama tells the glories of Hanuman's speech to Lakshmana. And then Lakshmana was asked to speak to Hanuman. So the equally wise and very nice speaker, Lakshmana, told Hanuman that we have heard a lot about the virtues of Sugriva and we have come in search of him and our intention is to make friendship with him. So once he heard the sentence from Lakshmana, Hanuman felt calm and he felt satisfied because all this while he had a worry, you know, initially, especially when he was trying to glorify them in the mood of an ascetic and in the guise of an ascetic, he had a lot of worries. Have they really come to attack Sugriva? He had those worries. The minute Lakshmana said, we have come here only to make friendship, he felt very calm. Then Lakshmana explains about how they were sent to the forest by Kaikeyi and about Sita's abduction by Ravana and about their inability to trace out where she was. Then Lakshmana told about how they met Kabanda and how the demon was freed And before leaving, Kabandha asked them to meet Sugriva. So they have come in search of Sugriva, who is the king of the Vanara, so that they can become his friend and take his help in searching for Sita. Now, Hanuman also, he knows that Sugriva wanted a friend because Sugriva was also in trouble. So he comes to a conclusion that both of them need each other. Both Rama needs Sugriva and Sugriva needs Ram. So he was thinking in his mind, both of them should become friends and their intentions will be fulfilled if they become friends. So thinking like that, Hanuman takes these two brothers on his back. He carries them on the back and he goes to the place where Sugriva is hiding from Vali. Now then, Hanuman takes both the brothers and he goes and lands in front of Sugriva. And the minute he goes in front of Sugriva, he introduces them. He says, this is Rama and Lakshmana. Both of them are the son of Dasharath. And they have come to this forest because of the words of their stepmother. Ravana stole away the wife of Rama. And so Rama has come here seeking your refuge. So because these two brothers are interested in making friendship with you, I have brought them here. So, my dear Sugriva, please worship them nicely. Be very respectful towards them. So like this, Hanuman advises Sugriva. And on hearing Sugriva's words, finally, Sugriva is pacified and he is out of his fear and anxiety and he puts on a very happy face. And then he goes and he welcomes Ram Lakshman and he tells them, I'm so honored. You both are such great princes of the Ikshvaku dynasty and you have come here all the way to make friendship with a monkey like me. So you want to have friendship with me? I'm more than happy to give my friendship to you. Saying like that, he offers his arm, he offers his hand and he says, take my hand in yours. Just like even today, when we meet someone, when we make new friends, we go and shake hands, right? So like that, Sugriva says, take my hand in yours. So he extends his hand and then Sugriva offers his hand in friendship to Ram. And Ram is so happy hearing the words of Sugriva. He clutches Sugriva's hand in his and then he embraces Sugriva tightly, very, very happily. So then Hanuman immediately, he discards his guise of an ascetic and he assumes his original monkey form in front of them. And then he lights a fire, by rubbing two sticks, he lights a fire. He makes a fire altar and he decorates it beautifully, putting flowers and other things around. And then he asks Rama and Sugriva to take, their oath of friendship in front of the fire. So both Ram and Sugriva, they circumambulated the fire and they entered into this pact of friendship. So they took vows, just like how we take vows of when we take vows of marriage, we go around the fire, right? Even for friendship, Sugriva and Ram, they announce their friendship by going around the fire. Then Rama and Sugriva, they sat down to speak. Actually, Sugriva, he made very beautiful asans with soft leaves and flowers for Ram to sit down, Ram and Lakshman to sit down, and then they began to speak. Sugriva said, he told Rama, I have a big problem. I'm actually ridiculed by my brother. He stole away my wife and he sent me away into this forest. So I move about in these forests with the dread and fear haunting me. And my brother actually denounced me. He even made me my enemy. He made me his enemy. So Ram, I need your help in dealing with my brother Vali. So Sugriva told his problem that he was actually sent away by his brother and his brother now has severe enmity towards him and he needs a lot of help. So when he said like this to Ram, Ram very laughingly he says the statement, I thought it was very interesting. This is there in Valmiki Ramayana. Ram says, a friend is a resultant factor of helpfulness. Laughingly, Ram says this. And it is very true, actually. A friend is a resultant factor of helpfulness. That I know, Ram says. I know that a friend is a resultant factor of helpfulness. So, O great monkey Sugriva, I will help you eliminate Vali, the abductor of your wife. He says that statement. And he says to Sugriva that my arrows will never fail. Sugriva, I can assure you of this. And when Sugriva heard these statements by Lord Ram, he was very, very happy. And He said, by your grace, Rama, I think I have this confidence now that I can regain my wife and my kingdom. And I hope that somehow Vali is eliminated and I don't have to fear from him anymore. So like this, this friendly conversation between Sugriva and Ram actually indicated the end of Vali and Ravana to be coming very soon. Sugriva then asked Rama what had happened in his life, and Rama told about the abduction of Sita, and Sugriva promised Ram that he will help Ram to get back his wife, Sita. So he tells Ram, you please give up your lamentation, Rama. Somehow or the other, I will bring back that lady for you. And not only that, I actually have something to tell you. You know what, Ram? I've actually seen your wife. And I know for sure, undoubtedly, that I have seen her, and it is Maitri, your wife. When did I see her? Is when that evil demon Ravana was abducting her. Remember, we discussed this in one of the previous classes about how when Ravana and Sita were going in the Vimana, Sita bundled up jewels and she threw it on the Rishyamukha Parvat, spotting some Vanaras, right? So Sugriva and everyone, they were actually looking at this. They were like kind of shocked. They were looking at it with opened eyes, without blinking. They were just looking up, looking at the abduction of Sita at that time. So Sugriva is telling about this. I've actually seen her. I know she was abducted by Ravana. And when she was up in the air, she was crying out piteously, Rama, Rama, Rama. She was crying out. She was crying out even Lakshmana's name. She was saying, Lakshmana, save me. Rama, save me. Like that, she was crying out. And at that time, I was standing with four other Vanaras. And seeing me, Sugriva says, when she saw me, she dropped her upper cloth of the sari along with auspicious jewelry. She bundled up some of her jewelries and she put it into a cloth and she dropped it down. So Sugriva says the statement, and there is again another implication in the statement that Sugriva is making. Sita saw Sugriva on top of the mountain and she dropped the bundle of jewelry aiming at Sugriva actually. Though she saw the five Vanaras, particularly she was aiming at Sugriva. Actually, that's how the verse goes. Why? Because it is said that Sita, who is the goddess of fortune, she had actually blessed Sugriva by mercifully glancing at him, that indicating that soon Sugriva's problems is going to get solved. Because without the mercy of the internal potency of the Lord, actually none of her problems are solved. So she gave that Kripa Drishti on Sugriva, indicating that very soon your problem is also going to get solved. So mercifully glancing at Sugriva, actually she dropped down that cloth. This is how Valmiki talks about the dropping of the jewelry of Sita. So Sugriva is actually blessed. His blessing is already there. Now Ram is going to help him. It's like that. First Sita has sanctioned, then Ram will help. So like this, Sugriva, he described about the jewels that were dropped on Rishyamukha Parvat. And then he says, we took this jewelry items and we have stored it very safely. Oh dear Raghava, I will bring them out and you can identify. So Sugriva told like this to Ram. He went inside and he took this little bundle of jewelry and he came and gave it to Lord Ram in his hands. So when Ram took the cloth, this auspicious jewelry and the auspicious cloth that Sita was wearing, his eyes became filled with tears. He just couldn't control himself. It was like the moon that was covered by mist, his eyes. And so beautifully Valmiki says that the eyes that were covered with tears were just like how the moon is covered by mist in the sky. And he took that bundle of jewelry and he embraced it to his heart. The more and more he hugged these ornaments close to his heart, the more he cried and he was wailing, thinking of her. The more he held these ornaments close to his heart, the more furious he got. He hissed like an angry serpent, somehow or the other, desiring to find this Ravana and take revenge on him and bring back Sita. So he was undergoing all these emotions. He was crying and wailing. He fell down from his seat. He was crying, wailing, hugging those ornaments. And he looked up. Again, he got angry. He was thinking, somehow or this other, I have to eliminate this demon and bring back my wife. Then very lovingly, he took that bundle of jewelry and he showed it to Lakshmana, who was standing in front next to him. And in a crying tone, he was telling Lakshmana, 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 see this upper cloth of Sita Devi. See the ornament. These all belong to Vaidehi. And all this has come off from her body and she's dropped this into this ground. She's being abducted, dear Lakshmana. She's being taken away by a demon. So like this, when Rama told Lakshmana, Lakshmana looked at the jewels and he said, I don't know the earrings or I don't know the, wait, I don't know the earrings, I don't know the, but I know the anklets. Actually, there was another jewel. I'm not able to, I have not written down the other jewel actually. There are three, four jewels that were dropped off, earring and one more, upper part of the body, one more jewel. And then anklets, all these were there in that bundle. So Lakshmana says, I do not know the earrings of Vaidehi, but her anklets I know very well, he says. I do not know the earrings, but I know the anklets very well. Why? Because I always pay obeisances at her lotus feet and I always worship her lotus feet. I don't know anything above her lotus feet. This is what Lakshmana says. So this is a very beautiful expression by Lakshmana. And this verse is actually very highly celebrated because it indicates Lakshmana's dedication and service attitude towards Sita. Lakshmana always regarded Sita as his mother. So he never looked up beyond actually her toes, it says. He didn't know much beyond his her lotus feet. He always worshipped her lotus feet. So Lakshmana says, I know only this anklet. This I'm able to identify. I'm not able to identify the other jewels, he says. So very lovingly, Lakshmana tells this to Ram. And then Ram again looks up at Sugriva. And very sadly, he asks Sugriva, tell me, Sugriva, towards which country that Ravana abducted Sita? Tell me more about that Ravana. So that Ravana, death is not very far. Like that, he gets very angry and he's completely emotional and he begins to inquire more about what had happened when Sugriva saw the abduction of Sita. So seeing Ram in such a miserable condition, Sugriva consoled Ram and he advises him to calm down. And then Rama, again, he promises Sugriva that he'll keep up his word in eliminating his fear from Bali. And Sugriva also promises Ram that he will take all efforts to find Sita. Now, Sugriva says, finally, now I'm confident, dear Ram, that I will somehow or the other conquer Bali. So then Sugriva begins to tell his story. What had happened between him and Vali, that we have not yet discussed. So now we'll see the story between Sugriva and Vali, what had actually happened between them. And then we'll stop actually. We have only a few minutes left. We have 10 minutes left, okay. So Sugriva said, O Ram, my dear elder brother Vali, he was very dear to my father. He was my father's favorite. And he was dear to me also earlier. Earlier, he was very close to me also. After the death of her father, all the ministers glorified him immensely and they made him the king of all the monkeys. Because he is the eldest in our family, he became the king. He was ruling nicely. The kingdom of my father was taken very good care of him. And being his younger brother, I always bowed down in front of him like a servant and I stood by him. Then one day, there was a demon by the name Mayavi. He was the elder brother of Dundubi. This Dundubi also, we are going to see who he is. First, we'll see Mayavi. There was a fierce demon by the name Mayavi, who was the elder brother of Dundubi, and they were the son of the demon by the name Maya. There was a great enmity between Mayavi and Vali. They had a lot of issues with each other. There was great enmity. And one day, that Mayavi, he came to the doors of Kishkinta in the night when all the people were sleeping and he started screaming out and blaring out very loudly in the night, calling out Vali for a fight. So at that time, my brother was also sleeping. Vali was also sleeping inside, but everyone got disturbed by this voice and Vali could not tolerate those screams anymore and he ran out speedily. And when he was running out that time, all the ladies in this Kishkinda kingdom and myself and everyone, all the ministers, all of us, we were holding on to Vali's feet, asking him not to go. But still, Vali decided to go and fight with that demon. And a great, you know, like they both began to fight. Like seeing him coming like that, seeing Vali coming out with great force, actually that Mayavi demon, instead of giving him a good fight, he started running away. Okay, so while the demon started running away, Vali was chasing him and this demon speedily, he entered inside the ground of a cave and he covered it with grass. So Vali ran behind him and reached this cave, and we two followed him. So Vali went there. He opened up the cave, and he said he's going to enter the cave to find this demon. And he told me, Sugriva, you better stay here outside this cave and be on alert and be at this entrance of this hole till I return after destroying this enemy in a fight. He said that, and he said he will enter the cave alone. When he told that he's going to enter this cave alone, I told him, I begged him, please take me along. I will serve you. I will help you eliminate the demon. But Vali did not agree. He made me swear on his feet, and he told that I should not enter the hole till he comes out. So he went inside the hole, inside the cave, and over a year, he kept fighting. He was inside the cave, and he never came outside. So for 1 year, I was at the entrance of the cave and waiting for him to come, and so much time had passed away. And over a period of time, I started losing hope that I'm going to see my brother again. And I really loved my brother a lot, and I began lamenting, thinking that he's not going to come out anymore. Then after a long time, after over a year, blood and foam gushed out from that hole. And seeing this, I became very sad because I heard sounds of screaming of a demon in my ears. But the screeches of my brother who was involved in the fight were not heard. I could only hear the roaring of the demon. I couldn't hear any sounds from my brother. So therefore, I concluded in my mind that my brother was dead. So I covered the cave opening with a big boulder, with a big piece of boulder. And then I came out thinking he's dead. It's been a year. I couldn't hear his voice anymore. I offered water oblations to my dead brother. And I came back to Kishkinta after this. When I came back to Kishkinta, first I didn't tell that my brother had died, but everybody could make out that I was very sad, and they asked me, and I had to reveal the truth to my ministers. Once I revealed the truth to my ministers that my brother is dead, all the ministers persuaded me to somehow take up the kingship, because a country cannot be without a king. So it was not my intention. I became the king, and I began to rule the kingdom also. Know that Raghava, Vali was alive inside, he thumped on the with he destroyed that covering of the cave, and he came out, and he saw me, that I was crowned. And his eyes were so covered with anger. His eyes were all reddened with anger. And he was so angry that I was ruling and I had left him in the cave. And purposely, he was thinking that I closed the cave so that he couldn't come out. So immediately, he told his ministers to arrest me, and he spoke to me very rudely. My dear Rama, I'm capable of countering him. That is, I know I can fight with him, but I didn't want to attack him because he's my brother. I bowed down in front of him with my crown touching to his feet, and I tried to explain to Vali what had happened, but Vali was so angry with me. He told all kinds of, kind of curse words to me, and I was trying to explain to him again and again. I told him, oh, my dear brother, I'm so happy that you have eliminated that enemy after a year. So please take this crown, please take this royal umbrella, I will hold it for you, I don't want to be the king. The ministers forced me, I didn't have a choice, I had to become the king, it is not my intention. Now that you have come back, I'm so happy. Actually, when I saw the blood oozing out from the cave, I became very sad, I thought you had died. I became happy that you died and I came and took over this kingdom, that was not my intention. Citizens of Kishkinda didn't have a king, they just made me the king. But now I request you, I fold my palms, I fall at your feet, please take back the kingdom, everything is under your control. So he said like this, and he begged them again and again, but Vali did not trust Sugriva, and he cursed him again and again in anger. And Vali did not listen to whatever Sugriva was speaking. Vali looked at his ministers and he told them, do you all remember the night when I went to battle with Mayavi? 1 year had passed. And on my killing of that enemy I could not see any exit from this cave because the mouth was closed. The Sugriva, he closed the cave and he went away. I kept calling for him. I called out, Sugriva, Sugriva, please open the cave and come back. I've come back. But I couldn't hear a single voice. He's done it on purpose. So with my foot, I pounded and smashed and opened this hilltop and I've come, this boulder, and I've come. And I see the Sugriva, who is so disloyal to his brother, he's taken away the kingdom. So like this, he told his ministers, throw him away from this place. I should not see him again. He banished Sugriva from the kingdom. He threw me away. He stole away my wife, Rama. He took away my wife. Vali took away my wife. And owing to the fear that I have for my brother, I'm just roaming around aimlessly. And I'm so distressed because my wife has also been taken away. So finally, I came to this Rishyamukha Parvat, which Vali cannot enter. So that's my story. That's why I'm here. Now you have to help me deal with my brother Vali. He tells us an entire story. There's a very short story about why Vali cannot come to Rishyamukha Mountain. I will tell that story and we will stop. Once, a demon by the name Dundubi. Now we saw about Mayavi, right? Mayavi and Dundubi were brothers. Why Vali cannot come to Rishyamukha Parvat? Why it is the safest place for Sugriva? Sugriva is explaining now. He's telling, there is another story I want to tell you. Please listen. Once there was a demon by the name Dundubi, and he had the form of a buffalo, and he was going and trying to, he was showing off his strength. He was calling out to the ocean for a fight. He went and called out Mount Kailash for a fight. He was doing all this tactics. And at that time, Mount Kailash told him, don't call all of us for a fight with you. Rather, you go and have a duel with Sugriva. He's the only one who's as strong as you. He can fight with you. So this Dundubi, who's in the form of a buffalo demon, he came to Kishkindha and he began to disturb the Kishkindha area. And he called Vali for a duel. Now, Vali, very effortlessly, he kicked the demon by slamming him on the ground again and again. And hastily, Vali, he actually swung the demon, that is, he swayed the demon, and he killed him, he swayed the dead body of the demon, and he threw it at a one yojana distance in a single flick. Vali was so powerful. This is all to describe the power of Vali. He was so powerful that even Himavan was saying, you go and fight with him, he's the only one who's as strong as you. And Vali easily defeated this demon Dundubi, easily he killed him. He smashed him on the ground and killed him, and he took the dead body of this demon and he swayed it on top of his head and he threw it at one yojana distance in a single flick. So when the body of this buffalo demon was thrown, blood was oozing out from his mouth and drops of blood was falling out in the air, and drops of blood along with the body went and fell in the hermitage of sage Matanga Rishi. So, you know, Matanga Rishi's hermitage was close by, right? So this Vali, he threw the body of this Dundubi and it went and landed where Matanga Rishi was doing his meditation. So when Matanga Rishi saw this dead body of a buffalo with so much drops of blood falling here and there and drops splashing on him, he got very angry. He said, who is this who has dropped blood on me and was stained this place? This whole place is stained with blood and I see drops of blood everywhere. Who is this reckless person who has done this job? So he thought for a second, and by his mystic power, he came to know that this was done by Vali. So immediately he cursed Vali. He sent a curse. He said a curse saying that by hurling this demon's, buffalo demon's body, all the trees in this area are completely destroyed. And there is so much blood and so much impurities in this area. Because of this, this Vali should never set foot on this mountain for one full yojana distance around this hermitage. And if this evil-minded Vali who did so much, who polluted this place, ever comes near this place, he will immediately die. So when he heard this curse, when Vali got to know that he was being cursed, he went and asked Matanga Rishi and begged him for mercy. But Matanga Rishi was very strict. He said no, and he went inside this hermitage and he said, you have to undergo this curse. So Vali, he withdrew from Rishyamukha Parvat. He never comes here, nor he doesn't even look at this mountain, because he will die if he comes anywhere close to this place. That's why, dear Ramachandra, Sugriva says, I am living here because this is the only place that is safe for me and Vali cannot come. So this is the story, and we will stop here. Or this is the story of Vali and Sugriva and their and the introduction of Hanuman. We'll stop here. If you have any questions, comments, please go ahead. Or corrections, please go ahead. And also, I just wanted to make one thing, one answer from the previous class. There was a question about Godavari by Gaurangi Mataji. So I looked up. This is what I found. Godavari River, actually, not really, she lost her purity or something. It is more like this, that all the Acharyas were very upset with River Godavari because Godavari didn't offer help to Ram in spite of Sita telling Godavari, please tell Ram. Sita, when she was going, she told Godavari, please tell Ram that Ravana is carrying me. In spite of it, when Ram went and asked, she remained silent because she was fearful of Ravana. So what the Acharyas say is the Acharyas or the Bhaktas of Lord Ram do not appreciate Godavari for what she did. So it so happened, and this is the incident that I wanted to say last class itself. I said there is a story in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya that they relate to, and I said I would say that this time. So the story is that there was in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there was an Acharya by the name Vedanta Desiga. He's a very celebrated Acharya, actually. So Vedanta Desika's disciples, when they were going towards Godavari, they asked Desika if they can actually take a dip in Godavari, because Godavari, she was not loyal to Lord Ram. So they had this question in their mind. They asked, is it okay? Is she pure enough for us to take a dip? Because Godavari is celebrated as one of the pure rivers. In fact, that is for water purification and everything, we pray even to Godavari, actually. Ganga, Yamuna, Godavari, we pray to all of them. So she's actually pure. So when the disciples asked this question, Vedanta Desika gave this answer. He said, it is fine. Godavari is still pure. You can take a dip in her. And he gives an explanation which is applicable to the, in the sense, it relates to the stories of the Alvars. For those of you who know about the 12 Alvars, there was one lady saint, Alvar, by the name Andal. So Andal's name is actually Goda. That is her original name. Later she came to be known as Andal. So the explanation given by the Sri Vaishnava Acharya is that when Goda took on the name, half of the name of Godavari, immediately Godavari became very fit for all the devotees to go, because Andal has done, she has exemplified devotion. So because she has the name of Godavari in her, half of the name of Godavari in her, Godavari has attained all her purity again. This is a statement that was made by this Acharya. So all the Vaishnavas, Sri Vaishnavas accepted that and they went back to Godavari. Though they were angry with Godavari for explanation I could find about, actually it's not. So I wanted to clarify that. And if you have any questions, comments, anything to add, corrections, please go ahead. Thank you all so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mother Preeti, for investigating that.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you very much. Naturally, I would really appreciate this recording also. But
yes,
I can,
definitely.
If I go to everydaychant.com, I can download them from there too, right?
No, Mataji. It's it's a complicated procedure to upload it there. So because it doesn't support many formats, the website. So rather, I can email it to you. That's not a problem.
Oh,
that's
I
easier.
So appreciate it, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure, Mataji. Anyone else has any comments?
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Only the class ends so quickly. There is a... Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kamalaki Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. So then we can end the class. Thank you all so much for your patient listening. Vancha kalpata rudeshya kripasindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananda koti vaishnavrandh ki jai. Namachara Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Valmiki Ramayana ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.